But I did have an encounter with an animal spirit part, so part of the animal anyway. '69, I was living in rural Quebec on a ski farm there. People from the National Film Board, pals of mine, they had bought a farm before they went down to ski in the winter. And all the old farms became just ski farms where people from the city who had money bought them. Just left the acreage set and came down in the weekends to ski. So I was living in one of those things one winter. And you know, snow is deep, winter's long, nights are get dark early and start to mingle with the neighbors. So the next farm up the road there, they were still living in it, two brothers and their mother and older guys. And they had a barn, and yeah, they were keeping a few cows. I don't know, marginal deal, but they were jolly as hell, and I used to go up and visit them, drink beer with them and stuff. One night coming, we used to go up there and get drunk, and it was like a half mile walk down the snowy road to get home if I was up there drinking. Then I went out onto their porch, veranda really, and stepped out there and it was slippery and I went right on my goddamn head. Whacked, knocked myself completely out. There I was visiting the neighbors and I'm nailed right on the floor. Out like a light. But they even got me up anyway. Off we went. But the story here has to do with animals. I can't remember what these boys were called. Let's call them the Frasers for any other name. Up to the river. And so, yeah, the Fraser. So these, I got a horse. I was up in rural Quebec on a sort of, I don't know. Before I went to rural Quebec, I was living down in Big Sur, California, and down below there. And I got involved with a group, a Gurdjieffian group, following the Sly Devil and Gurdjieff, who lived in the 1920s and so on. Guy telling you how to straighten out your life. In any event, I was one of his little wise guys, and so so at the end of our little 2-year learning how to do it down in Big Sur, then it was time for the test, and the other 7 or 8 people in my group, they went to Arica, Peru, to make films, and I didn't do that. I went to rural Quebec because I wanted to see if I was strong enough now to live the same life that my ancestors lived in rural Ontario in 1830 with snow. I wanted to see if I was made of the same stuff as my ancestors. Could I do what they did? And there was never going to be a moment in my life when I was going to be more powerful than I was when I came out of the Gurdjieffian group. I was in charge of me. And I knew it. And I knew my limitations. And so this thing going back to rural Quebec wasn't going to be a problem for me, frankly. I knew about winter. I grew up in winter. And so I was looking forward to it. But I decided that to make it really difficult, I mean, come on, just to go there and hide by the fucking stove all winter, you're not coping. So I bought a horse. And there was a barn going along with the old farmhouse there, and so I put the horse down in the barn, and bought him some hay, and way we were heading right into November, and it was going to be snowy as hell. But every day I have to go down there and let the horse out and go for a wee walk, and it's late fall, but there's no snow. And then when coming in, and I can see in the sky that snow's coming, I mean, it's just everything about it, red snow. And I thought, you know what? This barn is about, 100 yards from the house, which I'm going to be walking every day. And then the barn door is going to get all snowed out, and I'm going to be digging it out. I'm just going to move the horse into the woodshed, right by the kitchen door. So I went back, put the horse away, went back in the woodshed there by the old farmhouse, and I doctored up a whole big area there, made a little bit of a room for him, and took her over there. Her name was Dinah. Took Dinah over there and put her in this big old room full of hay and stuff with the windows. She poked the window out right away so she could get a little fresh air. It was right by the outhouse. It was an indoor outhouse there, and the woodshed was pretty big. So it was an indoor outhouse, but there was also a place for the horse. And I realized I was going to have to shovel the poop every day, but at least I was going to be carrying it through as much snow. In any event, got a horse, got a place, old farmhouse. Locked off the upstairs, wouldn't even want to heat that. Was wood heat in the furnace there, and kept it going 24 hours a day for 4 months. And to do that, I had a bunch of wood. But it didn't really occur to me to order the wood there until the snow came, and then the guy dumped it right by the road, which ran right by us. We were the second last farm on an lonely dirt road. And the only reason they plowed it was for the skimobile people, snowmobile people up at the far end, and made a big fucking racket. But anyway, because of them, they kept the road plowed. Otherwise, they just left us out there to deal with it ourselves. But coffee, Ethiopian pea berry, folks. So. There I am, there with the neighbors, and I've locked the upstairs off to keep the house warm. Had a pump in the kitchen, and I got pictures of all this stuff anyway. Maybe I'll post it up on my website. But, the pump. Well, people would come down to visit, come down from Montreal, they would drive down to the townships, and they would visit and stay overnight, and the downstairs of the farmhouse, we turned it all into bedrooms, basically, and just had one big heater, duct coming up from this furnace into the main room, and that heated the whole thing. Then we had a wood stove in the kitchen, and we had a pump, and but no hot water. But the stove, the old cook stove, this beautiful old wood stove, had at one end of it, if you ever buy one of these things, be sure to get the water tank that goes on the other end, because that's really, these stoves came at one end with a firebox and the other end with a water tank. So anyway, they I'd heat the water up, and then the bathtub was in the kitchen there. We'd just have a nice old bath on Saturday night. It was good. And we had electricity, but we, as I say, didn't have running water, and people come down to Montreal, and they'd stay over, and then they'd leave at night, they'd leave the pump handle up, which means that all the water stayed up in the line, which then froze under the house. So whenever I had visitors, before they arrived, I would get out the little propane heater torch that I had, and open up the underneath the, under the kitchen there was no basement, so I could crawl around under there, and I would when some people arrive, and then at night time I'd say, now before you go to bed there, if you use the pump, please be sure that you put the handle down, and put the handle up, and then no, they wouldn't do that. And then, they've drawn all the water up into the thingy, and then the morning, there's no water there, it's all fucking frozen solid, of course. because, I guess you can get under there and wrap all the pipe and electrical thing. I'm sure that's what they do in the modern age. But crawling under the house was the thing. I got away from everybody for a couple of moments, and I would tap on the pipe and make water come. Prometheus delivered fire. Well, Guy Gadois, the California Johoni, he delivered water to these moving people from Montreal. And so, it was fun, actually. And so, in event, my story, The Animist Essayist. So you got a long dirt road that's covered in snow now. It's December, February, March, no, it's late. April. I think it must have been April. It was earlier. It was fucking frozen solid. Okay, so it was fucking February, I suppose. And, so I got a long dirt road coming to snow, and then way up there, there's a farm, old farmhouse, couple of boys in it, and a barn, and a mom, and then far end, there's a snowmobile up in, and then there's me in the house, and the barn, and then down the road from me quite a ways, there's another guy who kept pigs. But, so there we were out there in the lonely regions of the eastern township of Quebec, and, I go up to the neighbor's house one afternoon, and I don't know, shoot the shit or do whatever. And this is long before the day of drugs and stuff like that. So it's mostly just talking and drinking, but mostly the word is just whatever. So I go up there, and he asked me if I want a piece of meat, and I say, I don't know. Why? He said, well, he's just killed one of the animals he's got, one of the bulls, actually, and then butchered it, and I want to take some meat down to the house and fry it up. And I said, well, sure, of course. And he says, do you want to go in the barn and see how we go about this? No, I didn't want to do that, but I found myself putting on my boots and trudging out through the snow line out to the barn, where we went in, and there it was. There was the thing hanging there, fucking frozen stiff. I mean, it was maybe 12 degrees outside, and so everything's frozen stiff. And I look out the back door, and on a little hill behind the barn is the steer's head. Several of them cut the thing's head off with their chainsaw, probably, and had horns. And there was this head out the back by a black head. It was a black head, and it had horns, and it was just sitting there. And I'm thinking to myself, well, egad, man, that's kind of horrible. But I don't say nothing, but meanwhile, I go away from there, and I'm thinking, this image stays in my mind. And I go back to my house, and a couple of days later, I'm thinking about it. And meanwhile, the weather's gotten bad, and we had a couple of nights of blowing snowy, and so, I go back up the road, because I want to keep an eye on this goddamn thing, and because it was a wee bit sitting on a bit of a slope there, I'm thinking to myself. So I go up, and we're chatting again, and I'm saying, I wouldn't mind letting look around the barn again, and he's saying, oh, okie doke, and off we go up to the barn, and there we are, and then I go to the back window, and I look out, and the thing's moved. It's moved down a bit. I can see by the snow that's rolled from one horn to another, but recently it's been rolling downhill a bit. And I'm thinking, well, it's rolling downhill. And he says, well, the head out there is moving around. And I says, well, yeah, it's moving around, but it's sort of all downhill to my house, I'm thinking. But anyway, off we go, and leave it alone there, go back home. A few days later, quite a ways later, I'm busy. We've had quite a blow, actually. It was, the middle of this story has to contain this part. This is fucking horrible. This scared the shit out of me. I don't think I've ever been scared as I was scared this night. One night it was blowing, it was really dark out. It was blowing. It was the snow was just coming in on the sideways, just so fast. It was a whiteout, really. But it wasn't the way when I went out. I went out to watch the dog. The dog and I, and like probably 9 o'clock at night, and the lights are on in the house. It's not a very big house, and there aren't a lot of lights, but there's light. And we go out on the veranda, and we walk down towards the barn, and the dog is going to have a pee out there, do a poopy thing. And so we're sort of strolling around there. I know this place. I've been back and forth over this thing 100 times, so I'm pretty comfortable about where I am here. Although it's really so now, and now it's really thick. In fact, I can't see which fucking way is which, really. So I'm thinking, well, I guess it's time to go back in the house, but I'm not really sure which way the fucking house is. We've been sort of fiddling around here, and I've turned around a couple of times, and I don't know where the fuck I am. And I know that I haven't gone more than about 65 feet from the fucking house. I mean, it's right over there somewhere, but I don't know which direction. But so I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? I'll go like 65 paces in one direction, and if I don't come to the house, then I'll have to come back and go in another direction, I guess. I mean, you got to start figuring this one out. So I start going off, and then I realize that I'm not going to be the steps and stuff are fading away real quick. I'm just wandering away from where I was without knowing where I'm going, even in which direction to go. So I stop, and I'm thinking, holy shit, this is horrible. And then the fucking dog shows up. White boy, and then he's had enough of this stuff. He wants to go to the house. Well, I'm saying, well, maybe the dog knows how to find the house. So he goes, the dog was charging off, and I go charging off behind him, and sure enough, there was the house. But that was, well, you want to talk about wonder? Sometimes you can, and then sometimes you can't. But it's just gotten a lot colder, huh? In any event, the final essayist, the animus essayist, finishes up when they go back up the hill and to visit guys, and the thing's gone completely now, and sound in the meadow rolling. It's got a bit of momentum going, I guess, because now. But the plowing has built up a bit of a residue along the side of the road. A bit of a residue, are you kidding? The road is just now a tunnel, and on 8 feet on each fucking side, it's just piled up snow. But the meadow's also up there. The head is making progress. I can see that, and it's coming, heading right towards the bloody road, which then has got a nice little hill, and right down to my place. So... Yeah, so I study the thing carefully. I don't need to go to the house anymore. It's down near the road. And I figure, well, there's a pretty good hump on the meadow side of this drop down to the road. There's a pretty good hump there. The fucking thing will never get over that. But I'm going to keep an eye on it now because it's got momentum. And I didn't mention the eye yet, but I don't think I want to, except to say that the thing had eyes, and the thing was frozen stiff. So it was pretty much just one step away from charging at you and knocking it down on your arse. But in any event, I figured, well, I'm not going to get over the hill here. Well, so about a week later, I decided, well, I'm going to take the... It's a nice day, sunny. You know, sun on the snow, beautiful day, and the snow was deep, but it was piled up. It's a pretty white world out there, but then there was black crows telling their stupid story about something or other. Well, what they were telling me was I wasn't listening, was what they were telling me, because they were telling me about what was going on up the road a bit. So anyway, I get the horse out, and we get down onto the road, had to go down these steps. We were way... The snow in the yard was 8 feet deep. So you went out of the veranda, and then you climbed up these steps that I carved into the snow to the top of the snow, and then you crunched along, and then you came down these steps that I carved down to the roadbed, which was like 8 feet down below. And it was really weird to be walking down, and there's the mailbox, and then suddenly you're past it, But so you have to get the horse up there, down that, but it's not, not a problem. And so I'm walking the horse along, and we're going up the hill. It's a country road. There's hills and bends. That's where country roads are. And so I was walking along there, going up the road, and Jesus, we go around the bend and up on the hill, coming towards my house. There's a fucking head. I can see it up there. And the horse can see it. The two of us stop, and we're just staring at the thing. And I'll be darned if it doesn't make a run for it. It just gets a little momentum going, just for a bridge or something. It comes rolling down the hill with a certain kind of momentum, impetus, you might even say, intention, something along those lines. And I said to it, you know, there's a pig farmer down the road a ways. He'd be really happy to see you. And then the horse and I, Dinah and I, we turned our tail and we got giddy up and back down to the house, where we both went into the woodshed, and I put the horse and Dinah in her place, and I went in the outhouse and had a poop. The head did eventually reach the guy down below, who took it by one horn and threw it way down into the alder swamp. And I learned a lesson there. Take it by the horn and throw it into the swamp. Amen, bro.